Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me share a part of your day, and happy Hanukkah since we're right in the middle of it. If you're listening to the audio-only portion, we do appreciate it. But if you'd go to either YouTube or Rumble and give us a like and a share and all those good things, makes it easier for people to find us. Yeah, everybody, peoples, right? Since we're in the middle of Hanukkah, and I haven't done this in a couple of years, I figured it was a good time with more and more people listening to go over this again. Because you've all heard the traditions, right? You all know the legends surrounding Hanukkah. The magic oil that lasted for 8 days, right? That small little ragtag army of misfits that defeated the mighty Greek army. And then, of course, there's the suck on the oat, the jelly donuts, and the latkes. Well, enjoy the latkes and the donuts, because here's where things get interesting. And I need to read from 2 Maccabees, chapter 10, beginning in verse 4. When they'd done this, they fell prostrate and besought the Lord that they might never again fall into such misfortune, but that if they should ever sin, they might be disciplined by him with forbearance and not be handed over to blasphemous and barbarous nations. It happened on the same day on which the sanctuary had been profaned by the foreigners, the purification of the sanctuary took place, that is, on the 25th day of the same month of Kislev. That's a Jewish month, if you didn't realize that. And they celebrated it for 8 days with rejoicing in the manner of the Feast of Booths, Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, remembering how not long before, during the Feast of Booths, they had been wandering in the mountains and caves like wild animals. Therefore, bearing ivy-wreathed wands and beautiful branches and, also palms of frond, or fronds of palm, they offered hymns of thanksgiving to him who had given success to purifying of his own holy place. They decreed by public ordinance and vote that the whole nation of the Jews would observe these days every year. And such was the end of Antiochus, who was called Epiphanes. Now, there's some things here you want to take note of. There's no mention of oil, right? Didn't happen. See more on that in a few minutes. But what they were doing at the very beginning was something that they had done throughout the campaign. They fell prostrate. They laid down on the ground, face down on the ground, and prayed. Okay? That was from the Maccabees. Let's go to it's not. Where is this from? I know it's in my notes. This should be from Antiquities of the Jews, from Josephus. I lost my place in my notes. I'm sorry. The generals of Antiochus' armies, having been defeated so often, Judah Maccabee assembled the people and told them that after the many victories which God has given them, they ought to go up to Jerusalem and purify the temple and offer the appointed sacrifices. But when he, with his whole multitude, came to Jerusalem and found the temple deserted, its gates burned down, and plants growing in the temple of their own accord because of the desolation, he and those with him began to lament in their distress at the sight of the temple. So he chose some of his soldiers and gave them an order to fight the men that guarded the upper city until he has purified the temple. When, therefore, he had carefully purged it, he brought in new vessels, the menorah, the table, and the incense altar, which were made of gold, and hung the veils at the doors, restored the doors themselves. He also took down the altar and built a new one of stone that he gathered together. And such had not been hewn with iron tools. That's important. And on the 25th day of the month of Kislev, which the Bacchidans call Apelios, I think is how you say that. They lighted the lights that were on the menorah and offered incense on the altar and laid the loaves upon the table and offered whole burnt offerings upon the new altar that had not been hewn with iron tools. As it happened, these things took place on the very same day which 3 years before the divine worship had been reduced to an impure and profane form of worship, for the temple had remained desolate for 3 years after being made so by Antiochus. And the desolation of the temple came about in accordance with the prophecy of Daniel, which had been made 408 years before, for he had revealed that the Maccabeans would destroy it. Yeah, Macedonians would destroy it. I'm sorry, I know I didn't read that right. And so Judah and his fellow citizens celebrated the festival of the restoration of the sacrifice of the temple for 8 days and omitted no sort of pleasure. But everyone feasted upon the very rich and splendid sacrifices, and they honored God, delighted themselves with psalms of praise and playing harps. Indeed, they were very glad at the revival of their customs. After so long a time, having unexpectedly regained their right to worship, that they made a law for their posterity, that they should keep a festival celebrating the rest of the restoration of the temple worship for 8 days, and from that time to this we celebrate this, which we call the Festival of Lights, because I imagine beyond our hopes the rite was brought to light, and so this is the name that was placed on the festival. There's nothing about oil here either, other than lighting the menorah. In fact, the first mention of any miracle of oil isn't until 700 years later in the 5th century, and that is found in the Babylonian Talmud, source number 3. So what is the real miracle of Hanukkah? What's the real miracle? If the oil lasting for 8 days isn't the miracle, because it's not mentioned in any of the historical writings, then what is the real miracle? Well, the real miracle begins with one man. One man who was faithful enough to act, and that act of defiance led to a rebellion. When Mattathias of Modin refused to comply, and when another Jew was sacrificing a pig on the altar in the temple, Mattathias killed him. And he stepped outside and he shouted, "Anyone who is true to the covenant and the law, come with me." Notice the two distinctions there. True to the covenant, found in Exodus chapters 20 through 23, and then the rest of all the other books of Moses, first 5 books of your Bible, if you're true to that, come with me. And throughout the account of the Maccabees and Josephus, we see a familiar theme. When they needed guidance, when they needed to know what was going on, they would lay face down on the ground and they would pray. And their prayer would be, "Lord, if you want us to win, you'll have us win. If you want us to die in battle, we'll die in battle. But it's not about us. It's about you." You see, they knew it wasn't about what they wanted. They knew it was about what the Creator wanted. A small remnant, faithful enough to place their entire trust, everything they had, property, lives, wives, family, everything. They placed it in the hands of the Almighty. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. Leaders of a nation, leading people not away from God, but back to God. That's the miracle. And what did that miracle accomplish? What did that miracle accomplish? It made it possible for us to be able to celebrate Hanukkah today. And we get lost in the traditions. We get lost in the legends. But if you read, and I encourage you to read the book of the Maccabees, and if you really want more information, read Josephus, his accounts about it. And what you'll see is over and over and over again, whenever they were faced with something difficult, whenever they were faced with something, not just one or two people, but the entire, not nation, not the entire nation, because not everybody was behind them, but the entire people who were following behind Mattathias, they would lay face down on the ground. They would say, it's not about me. It's not about what we want. It's about what you want. It's about you. If you want us to win, we'll win. If you want us to die, we'll die. It doesn't matter as long as you get what you want. It's all about the Creator. Go ahead and read it. See for yourself. See for yourself how many times that theme is repeated over and over and over again. Often. That's the real miracle. People actually giving up their sin, wanting to be true to the covenant and to the law. Are you willing to do that? Not many of us are. But if you are, I can guarantee you, you will benefit from it. You might not do anything as great as that, but great things will happen to you. Now, Hanukkah is not a commanded feast. You heard me read right from that, that they decided, because this happened, we're going to remember it. Hanukkah is more of a memorial. We remember, we mention it, we talk about it. But the things we don't talk about enough is the real miracle. The real miracle. The people who chose their Creator over themselves. Not a lot about Hanukkah in my books, but if you are interested, author Jerry Mitchell is where the books are available. Don't forget GiveGodNani.com. Might be some changes coming to that in the next couple of months. We'll see. Anyway, I hope you enjoy your celebration if you're observing Hanukkah. If not, read up on it. Christians, guess who was there? Guess who went to the temple just for it? They wanted to celebrate too. Just saying. Anyway, something to think about until next time. And until next time, I do wish you many, many blessings, everyone.